This case is 08-2037, State of Ohio versus Kevin Williams. Ms. Sobieski.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice and Justices. And may it please the Court, Kristen Sobieski from the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office here on behalf of the appellant, the State of Ohio. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The State asks this Court to adopt the proposition of law that attempted murder and felonious assault are not allied offenses of similar import. And we ask this Court to adopt that proposition because when you compare the elements of these offenses in the abstract, without consideration of the evidence in the case, felonious assault does not necessarily result in the commission of an attempted murder, and likewise, the commission of an attempted murder does not necessarily result in the commission of a felonious assault. Felonious assault is not an attempted murder because a person can commit the felonious assault without the intent to purposely cause the death of the victim. And attempted murder is not a felonious assault because a person can purposely try to cause the death of another without actually causing serious physical harm, which would be the felonious assault under A1. And you can attempt to kill a person, again, attempt to purposely cause the death of another without actually causing physical harm with a weapon, which is the felonious assault under A2. So under the Allied Offense Statute 2941.25, under this Court's holding in Cabrales, these two offenses are not allied. We stop the analysis after that first part of the Allied Offense test, comparing the elements in the abstract. And the reason that we do that is clear. The Allied Offense Statute is prohibiting cumulative punishments for the same crime, so the first step of the test is to determine whether or not we have essentially the same crime.
Well, counsel, is it the same crime or the same activity? Because the same activity can give rise to several different crimes by definition.
That's right.
So in essence,
we look at the elements of the offenses. That is
but
the test.
Backing up to the policy or the reason for this is to punish the activity one time, even though that same activity fits the elements of several crimes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and one the same when you use the term activity, the same conduct, that umbrella, the conduct that is committed can constitute violations of more than one offense. And this is about whether or not the defendant should be punished separately for those offenses, or whether it should be a single punishment for those offenses. Are they of similar import? Are they the same? And of course, the state is submitting that these are not. We need to do this test in the abstract. We are not considering the evidence because that is the most functional test, and that will give us the clearest lines and establish the best precedent so we can have consistency in application. Gives the best guidance to the courts below.
Are you urging a going back to the Rantz test, or?
We're asking that the court apply Cabrales and find that when you look at these elements, commission of one does not necessarily result in the commission of the other. And that's exactly what the court said in Cabrales. So that's what we're asking be applied in that way to these particular offenses.
You don't think the court properly applied Cabrales here?
No, the 8th District did not properly apply Cabrales here. What the 8th District did was basically what the Court of Appeals had done in the Rantz, which was looking at the evidence to determine whether or not the offenses were of similar import. That's what the Court of Appeals did in this case below, and that's where they went wrong. They did not properly apply Cabrales and simply look at the elements first to decide whether or not these offenses are of similar import.
I was a little confused. By the two different briefs, and I kind of got the impression that it depends which counts you compare with which counts, as opposed to no matter which way you do it, the elements are different. Am I reading that correctly? So that it's a choice of which counts you're going to compare that results then in the result either you or
Yes, as the court is aware, we do have all four, the two attempted murders and the two felonious assaults. So in this particular case, we get to look at which elements of of which one we can match them up all the different ways. We know, you know, based on Harris and Cotton and Brown, we know that those two felonious assaults would merge. They're subsections of the same statute. But whether or not the felonious assault merges into either attempted murder A or attempted murder B, that's what we're here to decide this morning. And whether you looking at the elements of A or B, these are not the same crimes. They prohibit different conduct. They have a different purpose, and they are not the same.
So is it the prosecutor then that gets to choose which way you're going to look at the merger, I guess, to use a term from yesterday?
Yes. The state does get to choose, and that's going back to precedent from this court starting in the 70s with the Geiger, City of Maumee versus Geiger case, reiterated even through this court's opinion in Harris very recently, 2 months ago. It is up to the state to elect post-verdict, pre-sentence, which case it's going to go forward, which of the offenses, excuse me, will go forward to sentencing. And what we did in this case, what we did at the trial court level, what we were arguing through the appeal, and the position here today is the results of this particular offense, we should have an attempted murder and we should have a felonious assault that this defendant is sentenced for. So the Court of Appeals got it wrong when they lumped all four offenses into a single sentence, essentially, for this particular defendant.
Because that would not have been the state's choice, and you get to choose.
The state does get to choose.
Did you say one attempted murder and one felonious assault is the outcome?
That was what the trial prosecutor, you know, submitted to the trial court. That's what the Court of Appeals did find, you know, that the essentially there was a concession that the felonious assaults were merged and that we were asking for a felonious assault and an attempted murder. That's still what we're asking for today. Again, these crimes are not the same. Hurting a person and trying to kill a person, they are separate crimes and they are separately punishable offenses.
Say that again.
Hurting a person and trying to kill them are separate and they're separately punishable. The felonious assault.
Trying to kill is not hurting a person, is what you're saying.
You may not necessarily end up having serious physical harm when a person tries to kill you.
And that's again where we get into the abstract analysis, which sometimes is counterintuitive. And I suppose the argument that you look at the evidence that was adduced at trial really would be the easier way to make it understandable.
The Court of Appeals called its approach a holistic approach, but of course it was applying the test backwards. Under the statute, under the holding in Cabrales, we look at the elements first. Do the elements align? Then we get to the conduct. And whether, you know, first, whether we've determined these are of similar import, we look at the conduct then to, can we parse them back out into separate act or separate animus, separate offenses that way?
But counsel, here you have to agree it's a pretty difficult task to look at actually what happened, which was the firing of a weapon that caused the paralysis of the victim.
Yes.
And try and divide that out to the felonious and the attempted murder. You're saying you don't even get to that, right?
You do not get to that. You do not get to that because these are separate crimes. They are not of similar import. Alternatively, though, we did submit in the briefs, and I can certainly address that this morning, if the court is inclined to find that they are of similar import, we did argue that there is a separate animus in this case with this multiple firing of the firearm. At this particular victim, you know, every time he's shooting this weapon, it's increasing, there's a substantial increased risk of harm to this victim. So there is both a felonious assault and an attempted murder based on the facts of this particular case. But again, of course, we are submitting these are not even of similar import from the start. The legislature enacted them separately. Not one of the elements of these two crimes is the same. They do not align. A felonious assault is simply it is not implicit in every attempted murder. An attempted murder is not implicit in every felonious assault. And that's what makes these crimes different from some of the other crimes that this court has looked at and determined to be allied. For example, the possession of drugs is implicit in the prep for sale trafficking. The element of restraint in the kidnapping is implicit in the rape. Attempted murder, felonious assault are different in that the felonious assault is not implicit in the attempted murder. And again, because we're looking at different statutes entirely, this is distinguishable from Harris and Cotton and Brown, where we were talking about subsections of the same statute.
Counsel, would it be sufficient for us to reverse and on the basis of Cabrales alone, rather than create a new rule of law here?
The rule of law that we need is that felonious assault and attempted murder are not allied based on their elements. That's the rule of law that the state is asking this court to issue. I think that we do need that additional guidance because, you know, the Court of Appeals did address Cabrales and you know, consider that case, and yet we came to the result that we came to. So no, I would think that we actually need the rule of law that these are not of similar import, these offenses.
And then if that rule of law was created in this case, a trial judge would always say these are not allied offenses, and the only way that you would be talking about that would be for the future. And that would take it off the table.
It would
for
take
the
it
future.
Off the table. We wouldn't ever have to get to the analysis of act and animus. And also, I would just
counsel. I want to follow up on that. Instead of deciding Cabrales, saying that's out there, that tells you how you handle these things, you're essentially saying that with each combination of offenses, we need to take a case in and say these are or are not. I mean, there's going to be no end to the parade of cases that you will want to bring us.
I certainly understand the court's concern. We have had an entire stream of cases where this court has looked at individually offenses and determined for us, are they of similar import or are they not? This, again, it's much like Cotton, Brown, Harris, all of these cases that we've brought before you. We're having trouble applying this statute. We're having trouble applying this test. We're getting inconsistent results throughout the state of Ohio. So we need guidance from this court.
So we are going to have to just keep looking at a parade of these. I mean, how many criminal statutes are there that can, I mean, it's sort of exponential, isn't it, when you start saying, okay, we've got X number of criminal statutes and we match them up against, it only stops with the prosecution's imagination on how many things they want to charge in a given case for the same set of facts,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. We are asking that you look at these particular offenses for us in this case because we're having inconsistent results with these offenses. As to what other offenses may come up in the future that we will end up having inconsistent results with, I can't necessarily speak to.
Well, we wouldn't need to write an opinion in every one of these cases. If we were, for instance, to decide this case, reverse the Court of Appeals with an entry saying, as you say, attempted murder and felonious assault are not allied offenses, and cite Cabrales. We had a few cases like that where we just simply applied the rule of the Court of Appeals here cited Cabrales, but then misapplied it. In
yes.
my view, frankly, I mean, it's pretty clear they misapplied the clear law in Cabrales. Wouldn't take very many entries, would it? Simple entries from us applying Cabrales mm-hmm. to send a message that Cabrales means what it said when we said it.
And that may certainly be a resolution in some instances. I think because we are talking about the four different offenses here that we might need a little
That makes us more confused.
A little bit more, right. Perhaps in another case, excuse me, it would be more clear if there was simply an entry to that effect. That may give some very clear direction in another case. But because we have four different offenses here that we're aligning in different ways, I think we might need a little more direction in this particular instance. And also, just for guidance, I would submit to the court, although it is a different test, they are not the same thing, lesser included and allied. But the court did look at the two of those together recently, and I think that was the Evans case, in saying that when comparing the elements, that's a similar part of those two different tests.
Counsel, and this court has. I don't want to let alone this issue of how many of these things you're going to bring us. Can't the prosecutor solve this by how they charge? I mean, in a big county like Cuyahoga, maybe it doesn't mean that every judge, every trial judge and every court of appeals judge has to have a complete understanding of Cabrales. If the prosecutor's office understands it, wouldn't that be enough?
Yes, Your Honor, but again, we are, you know, when the facts are brought to us and we make charging decisions, we go ahead and charge under the different, the alternate, the theories and whatever violations, again, and that is it's the state's obligation, the state's duty. We all know things can come out differently at trial, and it's our, that's why we go forward with the offenses charged in.
Okay, and I'm just suggesting,
the
again,
multiple
as
offenses,
I did yesterday,
as we do.
Maybe you don't have to and shouldn't throw everything up against the wall.
I'm sorry?
I said maybe you shouldn't throw everything you've got up against the wall.
I don't think that's a matter of this particular defendant's conduct constituted multiple offenses.
May I ask you before you sit down, just to keep track here on my little chart to keep this straight, on count one and count two, which do you want to merge into which? Those are the felonious assault.
I don't know that the prosecutor actually indicated specifically at the trial court level which of the two, but whether it's either the serious physical harm or use of the weapon, neither one of those would merge into either of the attempted murders.
Okay, so you don't really care which, as long as there's one felonious assault.
That's
and
right.
One attempted murder. Okay, that helps.
That's
clarify
right.
It.
Could you finish your analysis on the lesser included offense? Are you suggesting that felonious assault could be a lesser included offense of attempted murder in this instance?
No, I was just going to suggest that for guidance, this court determined in Barnes that felonious assault, the A2, the use of the weapon, felonious assault, is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder A, which is the attempt to purposely cause the death of the victim. So just as a matter of having looked at the elements of those two particular, that combination, this court's already said they aren't the same, at least for the purposes of lesser.
But we haven't looked at all of the combinations.
That Barnes was strictly on the two that I just
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sobieski. Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin, do you find Cabrales to be a workable test for the allied offense analysis?
Your Honor, may it please the court, John Martin on behalf of the public defender representing the defendant cross-appellee. Your Honor, Cabrales as continued to be, Cabrales's construct is correct. And Cabrales, as refined by more recent cases of Brown and Harris, have given this court have indicated this court's appreciation for what the General Assembly intended. Cabrales without more is to only take the first step of this court's three-step process to date. We can end this without having to come back for every case. Respectfully, the state of Ohio is asking you to engage in a process as Byzantine as the one you rejected in Cabrales, and it was the essence of Cabrales was we need to be pragmatic because we're trying to interpret what the General Assembly intended. And the common denominator, as we look at all of these cases, comes down to this. If the multiple offenses can all be committed elementally by the same conduct, then the offenses are allied. I haven't talked a bit about the facts of this case versus the facts of any other case, but can you attempt to kill someone, and at the same time, and in the course of doing so, purposely attempt to purposely kill that person, attempt to do so in the commission of an offense of violence, attempt in the process cause serious physical harm with a deadly weapon, which therefore subsumes physical harm with a deadly weapon? Of course you can. What the state says to you when they say go back and follow Cabrales is to ignore Brown. Can you cause serious physical harm without causing physical harm with a deadly weapon? Of course. Do it with your bare hands. Can you cause physical harm with a deadly weapon without causing serious physical harm? A flesh wound. And Brown recognized that to do so, to take those and become allied, would be to pervert the intention of the General Assembly. And Harris did the same. Aggravated robbery and robbery. And indeed, on the same day it decided Harris, this court decided Evans and said, we're not even going to be that scrupulous when it comes to greater and lesser offenses. Deem is not to be interpreted so mechanically. You do not have to combine in a particular combination item 2 from column A and item 1 from column B in order to do the analysis of whether my client committed but one crime. Because if it could come down to that type of manipulation, you would reach an absurdity that the General Assembly is presumed not to intend.
So using your analysis of our line of cases, would you find a felonious assault and an aggravated burglary to be allied?
No. And the reason why, Your Honor, is because the aggravated burglary is committed when you enter the house with the intention. The felonious assault requires more. It requires going through and acting on that intention. If I break into the house and think the better of it and say, you know what, I really don't want to assault this person, I've still committed the burglary. Mm-hmm. Still committed the burglary. Counsel. But I haven't, well, and actually, I'm sorry, your Honor's question was aggravated burglary. I'm assuming you would mean like with serious physical harm. But either way, it still requires that extra act, that extra felonious act, which, by the way, that would also explain Rance. Rance said involuntary manslaughter was not allied with aggravated robbery. But why did Rance say that? Because the predicate offense for the involuntary manslaughter in Rance was not the aggravated robbery. It was a felonious assault. And Rance goes to great lengths to make that point. So what test can we come up with?
Counsel, before you get
yes,
to that,
please.
You were several comments ago saying that the General Assembly did not intend that absurdity.
Yes.
Expound on that. What absurdity?
Your Honor, when the General Assembly passed 2941.25, they were recognizing that when the same conduct results in multiple offenses, that we will avoid shotgun convictions. The absurdity would come if you can have those shotgun convictions, but you can avoid them if you combine them in one manner and not avoid them if you combine them in a different manner. When we get into this, well, which felonious assault do we match up with which attempted murder? And that becomes an absurdity. The General Assembly
but
recognizes—
just before you go on with that, the intent here is to allow for sentencing to reflect the conduct.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, as I think that it's been shown, you can have the same conduct create various violations of statutes.
Yes.
But the intent of the legislature is to punish once.
That's correct.
Okay. So I guess it, to me, it really doesn't matter how many different crimes you are found guilty of. By the legislature's resolution of that is, you know, one punishment that will, because of the merger, and that takes care in many instances of your complaint here.
Well, Your Honor, and that's the reason why I would submit to the court that the 8th District got it right in this particular case, because the 8th District recognized that the same conduct, which caused four offenses in this case, is still but one piece of criminal conduct, and accordingly, as one instance of criminal conduct, should be punished once. And because my client wasn't simply causing serious physical harm or physical harm with a deadly weapon, because my client intended to kill the victim in this case, he has to suffer the consequences of a first-degree felony, not a second-degree felony. And so there is a logic to what the General Assembly has said. The test that will work in this situation is to remind ourselves, if you would, that it is the same conduct. When you have to do more, then you have separate consequences, multiple consequences for multiple instances of conduct. So in Cabrales, when you transport drugs, for example, you're necessarily possessing them. Do you have to do more to commit? Is there anything more than the same conduct to commit both? No. And Cabrales said they're allied. When it comes to trafficking and offer to sell, if I'm simply transporting or delivering or preparing my drugs, but I don't say anything to anybody about offering to sell or giving them to somebody else, can I commit the offer to sell? No, I have to do more. You have to do more.
But if you're attempting to murder someone, you don't necessarily cause serious physical harm if you attempt.
No, Your Honor, and that is true. But in that, but to go engage in that analysis is to depart from Brown and from Harris. The starting point needs to be the jury's verdict. The jury has told us that my client committed these four offenses. Now, recognizing that the jury's verdict is our starting point, we say, can that verdict be rationalized by one, by the same conduct? And when the answer is yes, then the court moves on to the next step, which is that means they're allied, and then we move to the next step. Well, was there two instances of conduct or one? And was there the same animus or multiple anima? And those are the other aspects of the test.
You argue that that's not pre-Cabrales, that's Cabrales plus Brown.
That is recognizing the essence of Cabrales. If we were to, if that is not Cabrales, then this court would have to ignore the section of Cabrales at around paragraph 20, where the Cabrales opinion goes through and carefully exposes the litany of horribles, the series of absurd and unintended consequences that have come from lower courts trying to scrupulously follow Rance. Cabrales is more than simply the decision in Cabrales. Cabrales is also, it's very instructive language in that regard, as it marked a milestone in terms of departing from Rance and recognizing the problem with too strict of an adherence to Rance.
Mr. Martin, you're really looking at the statute and parsing the statute as it's written, are you not?
Absolutely, Your Honor, because ultimately, Van Fossen, for example, tells us that the starting point for all legislative analysis has to be the statutory words. And surely Brown reminded everyone, lower courts, practitioners alike, that that is still the essence of what we're about here. We're about the intention of the General Assembly. I'm not asking this court to ignore the elements. I'm not asking this court to ignore Cabrales or Wynn or Harris or Brown. I'm suggesting to this court that as you have found yourselves making the right decision in each of those cases, guided by the paramount priority of wanting to be true to the intention of the General Assembly, you have, if you will, implicitly, if not explicitly, seen that the common denominator in your cases comes back to, if it's the same conduct without doing anything more, same conduct without more, then the offenses are allied. And that is a test that works.
You see two gunshots as one act or two acts?
One act. Two gunshots are one act when they are in this close proximity. The state's argument
that
this is...
one tries to murder another by use of a firearm and misses. Is that attempted murder if there's a bullet that misses?
Yes.
And then if the second shot is fired and strikes the victim, is that attempted murder?
It is. The second shot is, again, assuming the victim doesn't die, then both are part and parcel of a single act of attempted murder. The same way that in a bar fight, we don't say you get 15 counts because we've got a punch meter going and we've figured out how many times the shots were thrown. This is distinct, for example, from the situation that this court faced in Cooper, which I realize has not been briefed, but in response to Your Honor's question. In Cooper, this court recognized that there were two acts. One was shaking of the baby, and the other was a further assaultive act. If this court were to buy into the state's logic, then for every shake of that poor child, you have one more count, and that is absurd.
But you could also look at it, and I think that at the tail end of opposing counsel's statement this morning, that multiple gunshot wounds will give rise to initially an assault, felonious assault, and then it becomes an attempted murder because of the odds are you're going to hit somebody with more shots. And, you know, it maybe that's true, maybe it's not, depending on the qualifications and the weapon and the distance, et cetera, et cetera. But that, she said, then becomes a different animus, where I'm going to attempt to shoot you once, I may miss, you're running away, and, you know, I'm going to unload the weapon at that point.
And the Eighth District drew that careful distinction at the end of its opinion when it talked about the fact that if this were a situation where there was a shot and then the assailant goes and hunts down the victim because he hasn't finished the job and then does it again, now you have a different situation. You have a different animus, if you will. You have two discrete aspects of conduct.
But
you
that's
can't...
not the situation I'm talking about, and I don't think that's what she was talking about. It was the volume of shots increasing the likelihood of striking the victim and thereby causing, murder.
Well, and Your Honor, to the extent that the jury believed that the combination of two shots was strong evidence of an intent to murder in this case, then clearly my client suffers the consequence for that second shot. But you cannot divide the atom and say that bang, bang constitutes two offenses, where any more than you can say that the first punch and the second punch constitute two offenses.
So you would still go back to what was the conduct? Mm-hmm. Was the conduct two separate conducts, like your demonstration of hunting him down, or you try to shoot somebody and then you've missed and then you hunt them down and you actually shoot them. Those are two separate conducts. You do something more under your theory, whereas the successive ones are one course of conduct. Am I clear?
Yes, Your Honor. They become part of the same act. And Mr. Chief Justice, I see that I have gone over time.
Yes, you've been answering a lot of questions. So
I appreciate the court's indulgence. If I may, I would point out to the court that the allied nature of these felonious assaults and attempted murder counts in this case can be seen in a different way as well. What if my client had been successful? Would he have two counts of murder for which he would be punished? Of course not. Had that shot landed, he would have but one offense. Indeed, that murder would have had, if there was an issue of causation of death, the murder could have had as an inferior offense, attempted murder, or a lesser offense, attempted murder. It could have had as a lesser offense the felonious assaults. Felonious assault and attempted murder, if you will, have a common parent.
Of course, if you're successful on the first shot, then you don't have to attempt it again, do you?
Well, Your Honor, you don't necessarily have to attempt it again if you're successful, but when the two shots are bang, bang, if this court were, and of course this is an issue that is not actually part of the state's proposition of law.
Which is the reason you need to sum up very
quickly.
I'm
sorry, Your Honor. If I may, Your Honor, in response to
yes.
Your Honor's question,
sure.
You would take this court's jurisprudence in an entirely different route if you were to now hold that successive shots in short order like that would be separate crimes for all the reasons I've just stated. And I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Sobieski, Ms. Sobieski, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. In order to find that felonious assault and attempted murder are allied would require an overly broad interpretation of 2941.25. Brown, which counsel has relied on so heavily this morning, is an entirely different scenario because the General Assembly intent, as this court has found, is different when you're talking about subsections of the same statute. That is not what we have before the court this morning. For the reasons that we have submitted, the state respectfully requests that this court find that felonious assault and attempted murder are not allied offenses of similar import. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.